remain standing, if you will. Turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter number 28. Amen. Appreciate all the singing. Amen. And I was thinking, last Sunday we had the Caracos here, and they sang all during Sunday school. We had a little extra singing there, and then Brother Matt and Miss Courtney sang for us as well. We had extra singing, but today we've had about as much, haven't we? Amen. But I appreciate it. I think it's, like I said, it's a good day to celebrate. Amen. Celebrate our living Savior. We're not just here to celebrate, we're here to worship. And there is a difference. Really, there is. I hope you don't worship a team, but you might celebrate when they win. We worship our Savior and Lord. Amen. And He deserves our glory and honor and praise. Amen. Amen. Well, let me say this about birthdays. We got birthdays this week galore. All right. Today is Ella Rose Vincent's birthday. So happy birthday, Ella. And hope she has a blessed birthday. Tomorrow is Sister Ann Dockery's birthday. And I hope you have a happy birthday, Miss Ann. Tomorrow is also Brother Randy Kuhn's birthday there in Larned, Kansas. And then on Tuesday is Miss Katie Shepherd's birthday in Kansas there as well. So pray for these folks. Have happy birthdays, and God bless them on this special day. Amen. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 1, and read down through verse number 8. I'll do my best to be as timely as possible. I know we got food back there waiting. By the way, we'll not have choir practice tonight. We'll just come in for regular service time. We'll have prayer time, but just regular service time. And so if you can plan on that, that'd be a blessing. Matthew chapter number 28, verse number 1, and let's read it responsibly. The Bible says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which is crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Amen. We'll stop reading there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Jacob, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I do appreciate that prayer. By the way, I'm thankful for the services we had. We had the marathon, and I haven't been able to say a lot since then, but God blessed us in the marathon. We didn't hardly reach our goal, but we wasn't as far behind this time when we started either, so we can praise God for that much and trust that He's going to help us on through that. But then, good services. Brother Larry Wells did a good job preaching on Friday night and then on Sunday morning as well. And then while we were gone last week to Kansas, Brother Aaron Wells, no relation, but Brother Aaron Wells preached on Wednesday night, and I understand did a good job there also as well. So we appreciate that and thank God for it. I had the privilege of preaching there in Larned and enjoyed myself there also. But I'm glad that we're able to be back and worship together on this Lord's Day. Isn't it a beautiful day? Amen. Beautiful day. And we can rejoice in the fact that we know there's going to be a better day even than this one of these days, because we're serving a living Savior. Amen. Now, the text that I read to you is probably read all across America and maybe around the world today, or one very similar to it. It's the text of the resurrection. I'm going to use this text, but I'm not really preaching on the resurrection, though it would have to be related to it, and it's in the context here, that these ladies came to seek the body of the Lord Jesus. They came to bring their herbs and spices and to anoint the body of our Lord for His burial. Now, this is the resurrection experience of Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, as you find here in Matthew 28, verse 1. He mentions these two Marys. We know there were other ladies as well involved. When you read the other Gospels, you'll find some of that. But these two ladies, Mary Magdalene, specifically named, and Mary, the other Mary, came to the sepulcher, and they found the tomb empty. Amen. I'm glad there was nobody in that grave. Amen. Now, I'd like to take this statement of these, of this angel as he speaks to these ladies. He's comforting them. And he says in verse number 5, he says, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified." And I want to preach on this thought. Encouragements for seeking Jesus who was crucified. This angel didn't say you shouldn't be seeking him. He just said he's not here. Amen. You're looking in the wrong place. There's a lot of people looking for peace, but they're looking in the wrong place. A lot of people looking for joy, but they're looking in the wrong place. A lot of people looking for a lot of things. Fulfillment. Amen. Maybe even looking for heaven at the end of life, but they're looking in the wrong place. And so this angel encouraged them in looking. He didn't fuss at them for looking for Jesus. So I want to preach on encouragements for seeking Jesus, which was crucified. Now, by way of introduction, let me reminisce about this account that we find here. Jesus had just been crucified 3 days earlier and taken down from the cross and laid in this borrowed tomb. Somebody said the only reason you borrow something is if you plan to give it back. Amen. Jesus wasn't keeping the tomb. He was going to give it back. Thank God. Amen. And all that had taken place prior to Sunday morning. But Sunday morning rolls around and these ladies got up early in the morning. Matter of fact, before the sun rose, the Bible says, while it was yet dark, according to John chapter 20 and verse number 1. Very early in the morning, according to Luke chapter number 24. And then at the rising of the sun is what Mark says. So you can take Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and find out that these ladies got up very early in the morning at the rising of the sun while it was yet dark. In other words, they were intent. They were serious and sincere about what they were going to do. Matter of fact, they would have already been there to anoint his body if it hadn't been a high holy day. Amen. The Sabbath, by the way, some people say, well, you know, he had to die on Friday. That's why they call it Good Friday, by the way. Had to die on Friday because Saturday's the Sabbath. But that was a high Sabbath. And so you got the Passover and you got the high Sabbath that was more than just one day. There was an extended period of time that they celebrated the Passover and recognized Holy Day. But when that was passed, very early in the morning on the first day of the week, Jesus got up from the grave. Amen. And that's why we celebrate and worship on Sunday. Amen. And so these angels showed up in verse number 2. There was a great earthquake. That would sort of shake you up itself, wouldn't it? Amen. Be a little rattle your cage if there's a great earthquake. But then there's an angel that descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Now look at verse 3. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. Verse 4, and for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. So here's this angel. His appearance, his countenance was like lightning. In other words, he was so fierce. He was so troubling that even these strong, sturdy, stoic soldiers fainted. They became as dead men. They fainted. They began to shake. And they were filled with fear. It's what I noticed, this countenance of the angel towards these men that didn't believe in the resurrection was fierce. But to these women that were looking for the Messiah, he wasn't fierce. He was actually comforting. Look at verse 5. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified." Amen. So his answer to the women was comforting. His answer to the women was consoling. Amen. Even congenial. He was trying to be helpful to them. Amen. Now, I don't think that this angel was speaking only for himself. He's the angel of the Lord, it says there in verse number, verse number 2. It's the angel of the Lord. He is a specific angel. He is representative of all of heaven's glory, representative of all of heaven's power. And so he's speaking to these ladies not only from his heart, but from the throne of heaven, from the heart of God. He's saying unto them, don't fear. Keep seeking Jesus who was crucified. Amen. In other words, we'd say it this way. Seek until you find him. Amen. Seek until you find him. Now notice that these women were the first people that were told about the resurrection. He didn't tell Peter first. He didn't tell the preachers first. He didn't tell anybody. And he told these ladies that were seeking him. Amen. I think there's a truth that we can find in that. There's a lot of people come to church for a lot of different reasons, and they may not hear from heaven. It's possible for you to sit in a service that others hear from heaven and you don't. It's possible to sit on the same pew with people that hear from heaven and yet you don't. What is that? Well, I think a lot of that depends on the atmosphere of your heart, the purpose of your heart. Amen. And so these ladies got to hear the message that others didn't get to hear. And so here's this woman, Mary Magdalene. Names her specifically. She was a very notorious sinner. She was a woman out of whom the Bible said he had cast 7 devils out of her. I don't know how bad that'd be, but I'd say a woman with 1 devil would be bad enough, wouldn't you? A woman with 2 devils would be bad enough. Amen. Now y'all come on, lighten up a little bit. A woman with 3, 4, 5, 6. This woman had 7 devils. Jesus healed her of every one of them. Amen. He made her whole. Amen. I like that song that the three men sang there. He didn't save me part of the way. Amen. He made me whole. Thank God. Amen. Amen. So here's this woman that apparently had been a very wicked person. She had been one that had been, had accompanied a lot of evil things, and she had accumulated multiple evil spirits within her, and yet she had met the Lord, and the Lord had made such a change in her life that even with him dead, she wanted to go to where he was buried. She wanted to go and show honor to his dead body. She wanted to go and do what she could do to anoint his burial. Amen. Amen. I see here, I believe sinners that are not obstinate against Christ may very well hear from heaven. But sinners that are obstinate against Christ may never get any help. But if you'll have a heart that is tender towards Christ, he may change your life and you'll never be the same. Amen. He may kick the devil or devils out of your heart and life as well. Amen. That's right. That's right. So I want to think about that. Think about this encouragement to them that were seeking Jesus. First of all, I want to clarify the essence of the search. I want to say something about this search. When I think about it, there's several parts of a search. Number one, there is the initial search. The initial search. In other words, something happens in a person's life that causes them to long for a change. Something happens in a person's life that causes them to long to be delivered from the bondage of sin. The burden of sin. I don't understand it. It's just like with a little boy. There's a time little boys think little girls are putrid. Make you want to puke. But then they start thinking they're pretty. And make the rest of us want to puke. No, but seriously, there's a change that comes over a child in that kind of, and there's also something that happens in a person's life somewhere along the line. I believe that light lightens every man that comes into the world, and somewhere along the line, the burden of sin becomes a burden. It's no longer joy in sin. It's no longer the pleasures of sin. The pleasures of sin have come to the end of their season, and there comes that time that there is a burden of sin on a person's heart. If that person would start looking for the Lord, they can get deliverance from their sin. Amen. Amen. Now, again, there's a lot of people looking, but they're looking the wrong place, and they're looking the wrong ways. The Bible, the Holy Spirit, is emphatic about the fact that you need to do some seeking. It's not you just wait till he knocks you in the head and drags you to the altar. No, you got to do some seeking. The responsibility is on you. We'd say it this way, the ball's in your court. Amen. I've got some scriptures. I'm not going to have you turn there for sake of time. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29 says, "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul." I say amen right there. Go to seeking after him. 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 14, talking about Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, said, "And he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord." Amen. So what he's saying there is that he should have prepared his heart to seek after the Lord. Amen. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 and 7. These verses we use a lot. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Amen. Now, I know some people seem to tend to believe, well, the sinner can't do anything, no need for him to seek, when the Bible says, you'll find him if you'll search for him. When the Bible says, seek him while he may be found. Amen. Jeremiah chapter number 29, verse 13, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Amen. Amos 5, 6, "Seek the Lord and ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel." So he's saying, seek the Lord. How about words of our Lord himself? Matthew 6, 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Amen. How about Matthew 7, 7, "Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and he that knocketh, it shall be opened." Amen. Jesus said, seek, ask, and knock. Turn to Acts. We'll look at this one because it'll do you good to see it. Acts 17, Paul is there in the midst of Mars Hill. Acts 17, he's at Athens, talking to all these people that had itching ears for some new knowledge, some new information. Acts 17, verse 22 and 23. "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." Now look down at verse 27. I could read the whole thing, but verse 27. "That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us." Amen. Now, Paul's talking to heathens that didn't know the law. They had false gods. They had altars of every kind. They probably had an altar to the Easter Bunny. They had altars to everything. And you know what he said? "You don't know what you're worshiping, but you need to seek after God." Amen. You need to seek after God. Matthew chapter number 11, verse 28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." By the way, Jesus never complained at somebody seeking him. He complained for people not seeking him. Amen. John 7, 37. "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. John 5, 40. And you will not come to me, that you might have life." Again, Jesus never complained about somebody seeking. He complained about people not seeking. So there's the initial search for the Savior, those that are sick of sin and shame. Secondly, I believe there's an intimate search. Not just the initial, but an intimate search. I'm talking about that person who has fallen in love with the Savior. Amen. I used the illustration about the little boy. And by the way, I think it's proper to do so. When you go over there to Ephesians chapter number 5, and I dealt with this on the radio when I preached out a Song of Solomon. I talked about it there at Joshua's church as well, but it's just as fresh on my mind. You've got that. He talks about the man and the woman. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. And he says, I'm talking to you about the church. I'm talking to you about Jesus and the church. What's he talking about? There comes a time in that young man's life when he turns his back on everybody he has loved and everything he has known because he's found a new love. Something more precious. Something that he's longing to live happily ever after with. Amen. That's what happens when a person comes to Jesus. Once you find him, here's what I'll say about it. You don't ever stop seeking for him. Amen. When you fall in love with him, you'll search for him more and more. And that's what I find here about Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene had been delivered from the devils. But she wanted more of Jesus. Amen. Amen. She wanted more of Jesus. She had a heart that had fallen in love with her Savior. He had delivered her from her sin, had delivered her from those evil spirits. She longed to be near him. Amen. She longed to follow him. Paul the Apostle, same way. Paul was saved, and Paul had a desire to know more about God. Philippians chapter 3, you know these verses 8 through 10. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Jesus, of faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Now, Paul already knew Jesus, but he wanted to know him more. That's what I'm talking about, that longing to seek after Christ. Song of Solomon, chapter number 5. You know the story about the Shulamite woman and how she longed for her beloved. She says in verses 8 here, she says, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. That doesn't mean I don't want any more love. It means I need more love. I'm sick needing more love. Amen. What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. Amen. So what she said is this, I've fallen in love with him and I want to be with him even more. There's an initial search and then there is an intimate search for Christ. Amen. Peter deals with that, by the way, in his first epistle. He talks about loving him whom we've never seen. Amen. We've not laid our eyes upon him, not natural eyes, but our heart has felt him and seen him. Amen. Now, all of these things, and I could give a lot of other instances, but all of these things show us that the Christian has a desire to seek the Lord even after salvation. Amen. Those people that, you know, they make their profession of faith, and then they never show up at church. They never make another step towards God. I have a hard time believing they've ever really met him. Amen. Amen. There's a second point I want to make here. I talked about clarifying the essence of the search. Then I want you to think about the cheer and encouragement for the search. The angel did not discourage these women from seeking after Christ. Actually, they encouraged them. They said, don't fear. Don't be full of fear, but keep seeking the Lord Jesus. Amen. He's not dead. Right? He's not dead anymore, but you're doing right to keep seeking him. He's not buried anymore, but you're doing right to keep seeking him. Amen. Just an aside. We don't worship a Savior on a crucifix. Right? False religions have a Savior still on a crucifix. That's why they have to have a Mass every day. Right? That's why they have to go through that crucifying Him afresh. Listen, our Savior's not on the cross. Amen. You've heard it. He's not on the cross. He's not in the tomb. Amen. He's alive and well. Amen. I believe he's coming back soon. I do believe that. Amen. Amen. But the angel encouraged them to keep seeking him. I want to encourage that search as well. Amen. Here's a few things I think about that might ought to cause us to be encouraged to seek after him. When we sense our need, the sense of our need ought to encourage us in this search. In other words, without Jesus, we're empty. When He's around, we're satisfied. But without Him, we're empty. Our hearts are dead and dull without Jesus. But they're quickened and made alive when He is near. Our life is empty and vain without Jesus. Here's how the Christian feels. I must have Jesus near. I must be in His presence. I just simply must. I've got to have Jesus by my side. Amen. So our sense of need ought to cause us to seek Him. Secondly, our sense of the value of Christ. Recognize the great inestimable value of Christ ought to encourage us to engage in this search. Amen. Paul said, I count everything I had, I counted as dung, just manure. Throw it out on the field. It's not worth anything. Why? Because he recognized how great Christ was. When you find the pearl of great price, willing to sell everything else to obtain that pearl. Amen. Amen. So I say we ought to esteem Jesus as the fairest among 10,000. He's the chiefest of our beloved. Amen. Amen. And then a third thing I think about this, the restlessness and the dissatisfaction of our soul with anything else. Brother Philip sings that song, you could search the whole world over and you'll never find anything to satisfy. But once you've tasted of the goodness of mercy, amen. Once you have tasted of the Lord, you realize how dull and dry everything else was. Amen. How empty. That's right. Everything else was. That's why the psalmist talked about as the heart, not H-E-A-R-T, heart like the deer, H-A-R-T. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Amen. We ought to long to be near Him. That's what he's talking about. When we recognize how valuable He is, when we recognize how needy we are. Amen. Nothing will satisfy the longing soul like Jesus. Amen. You remember when Israel had sinned, God said to Moses, I'm going to send an angel, but I'm not going with you. You remember that? Exodus chapter 33, I believe it was. Yeah, Exodus 33. Here's what Moses said. If thy presence go not with me, carry us up not hence. Carry us not up hence. In other words, he said, if you're not going, I don't want to go. Amen. If you're not going, I don't want to go. I remember as a fellow came out with a song when I was a teenager and some people used to play it at where I worked in the factory. I'd be out reading my Bible at lunchtime and they would go out and roll the windows down and crank the music up. And they'd be playing that song. If heaven ain't a lot like Dixie, I don't want to go. And I tell you, Dixie don't make heaven. Jesus makes heaven. Amen. And most of that crowd don't have to worry about not wanting to go. They're not going to go unless they come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Amen. That's right. He'll make a change in your life. Amen. Jesus makes heaven, heaven. Jesus makes life, life. Amen. Jesus makes joy, joy. He is our peace. He is our wisdom. He is everything to those of us that are saved by the grace of God. Amen. Amen. And then the last thing on this encouragement here, the comfort and encouragement, is our hope of finding Him. He made us a promise. Ye shall find me when you search for me with all your heart. I've heard people say, well, I tried that, but it didn't work for me. No, it wasn't that it didn't work. Somewhere along the line, you didn't do right. It wasn't God's failure. Right? Nobody that's ever tasted of the Lord found Him not to work for them. Amen. Everybody that's ever tasted found Him wonderful and able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Amen. Amen. Now, here's what the Bible says, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder to them that diligently seek Him. We got to believe not only that He is, not only that there is a God, not only that Jesus is God, but we got to believe that He's the Savior. He's the rewarder of all those that diligently seek Him. He's not failed to save one that actually came to Him in the right way. He's not failed. Amen. He's not failed. Then my last point, I want to talk about complying and engaging in this search. Just real quick. Complying and engaging in this search. I'm talking about how we do that. How do we search for God? Well, first of all, we search for Him in the Scriptures. Jesus said in John chapter number 5 and verse 39, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me. You know what He said? You'll find Me in the Scriptures. Amen. One of the reasons a lot of people not finding Christ, they're reading everything but the Scriptures. They're listening to everybody but the Holy Spirit that's pointing them to the Scriptures. Amen. Amen. Our love for Christ ought to cause us to search for Him in the Scriptures. In other words, not only for sinners find them in the Scriptures, but saints find them in the Scriptures. We ought to learn more about our Lord and read our Bible as if it's a love letter from our beloved. Amen. That He's speaking sweet peace to our soul, amen, and sweet nothings in our ear, amen. He's speaking to us through the Scriptures. Number two, through the preaching of the gospel. I don't have to give you text, but you know Peter, on the day of Pentecost, preached and over 3,000 people found Christ in the preaching of the Word of God. Some of those may have been the very ones that cried, "Crucify Him. Crucify Him." Some of them may have, who knows, but they were there shortly after the resurrection. You know, the 50 days is what the Pentecost means. And so they'd come back for another festival, similar to like they'd come for the Passover. So here's all these religious Jews come in there, and they're maybe the very ones that said, "Crucify Him." Maybe the very ones that said, "We'll not have this man to reign over us." Maybe the very ones that watched Him, mocked Him and all that, but they heard the preaching of the gospel, and they got saved that day by believing the gospel. Amen. There's hope for you. By the way, don't miss the preaching. When preaching's going on, be there. Amen. Be there. But don't miss Christ in the preaching. Sometimes all you see is the actions of the preacher. The ability of the preacher. Need to come to see Him. Amen. Amen. Don't absent yourself from the preaching. We search for Him in the Scriptures. We search for Him in the preaching. We search for Him in prayer. When He said, "Ask, seek, and knock," He's talking about praying. Jesus, talking about praying. We can seek Him in prayer. I'd say seek Christ in prayer. Go to Him in prayer. Talk to Him in prayer. And then last of all, we seek Him in the assembly. I'm talking about in the house of God. I said don't absent yourself from the preaching. I mean, when we come to church, why do we come? Well, we ought to come to see Jesus. You know, on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, a lot of times people wear nicer clothes, maybe newer things, maybe, you know, dress up in different ways, wear a hat that they don't normally wear. Amen. Got to throw that in. Everybody turn and look. Amen. No, I'm just picking. But seriously, we may come for, you know, come with those, but that's not why we come. Why do we come? Listen, I appreciate the young people singing, and I know some of the little ones didn't know the song, and the other ones was trying to get in on it. I appreciate them trying, amen. I appreciate the effort that they're doing, putting into that, amen. I appreciate that. I appreciate watching them, how that they behave in that doing, amen. Amen. I get tickled at how they don't behave sometimes. But my focus ought not just be on the children. My focus ought to be on He's alive. He's alive. Amen. Recognizing Jesus in the singing. Recognizing Jesus in the Sunday school. Recognizing Jesus in the testimony. Recognizing Jesus in the preaching. Amen. But I'll say this. He may not show up every time we come together. But He said if there be two or three gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst. Amen. Here's what I say. Don't you be missing when He shows up. Make it a point. Make it a point. I'm going to seek after Him. I want to know Him more. I want to please Him better. And by the way, if you're not saved, you really need to hear Him. You really need to find Him. Seek Him while He may be found. Let's stand to our feet as He come with a song. Heavenly Father, thank You for the Word of God. I've tried to run fast, cover the ground, just this topical message about seeking Christ. Lord, I'm glad that when those ladies got there that morning, the tomb was empty. I'm glad the stone was rolled away, not to let Jesus out, but to let them see that He wasn't in there. Lord, I'm glad this Sunday morning we can come to the house of God knowing Jesus is not in the tomb. But You may very well be in the building. You may very well be in our hearts. You may very well be in our presence. And Lord, I pray that You will be and that You'll move in power. I pray for those that would be seeking You, Lord. I pray You'd cause them to have an intense search. Some that have not started seeking You, that they'd have that initial search. But they'd recognize a hunger for something different. A liberty from sin, a freedom from sin. They get out from under the bondage and the burden of sin. And that can only be found in Jesus. Never found anywhere else. Only in Jesus. Bless in the invitation time, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.